beginning with the words, the phrase Swa-atma Prasidyate. So you might want to scroll down to that. It's purport. The phrase Swa-matra-atma Prasidyate is very significant in this verse. The word Swa indicates possession. All living beings belong to the Supreme Lord, Mavayamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Therefore, according to this verse, they have two options, Matra Prasidyahe and Atma Prasidyahe. Matra refers to the material senses, and Prasidyahe refers to efficient, effective accomplishment. Therefore, Matra Prasidyahe means efficiently engaging in sense gratification. On the one hand, Atma Prasidyahe refers to Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, Atma Prasidyahe refers to Krishna consciousness. That's an important distinction because what we're going to talk about this morning is making a choice between these two things, between sense gratification and Krishna consciousness, how to make a good choice. And so the words in the verse direct us in that way. There are two categories of Atma, the Jivatma, or ordinary living entity, who is dependent, and the Paramatma, the supreme living entity, who is independent. Some living entities desire to understand both categories of Atma, and in this verse, the word Atma Prasidyahe indicates that the material world is created to give those living entities the opportunity to achieve such an understanding and thus return to the kingdom of God where life is eternal and full of bliss and knowledge. Srila Sridhar Swami confirms this by quoting a verse from the Veda Shruti of Srimad Bhagavatam 10:87-2. Udayendriya mana prana janana masvaja prabhu matrata cha pavata atmae kalpanaya cha. The Lord created the intelligence, senses, mind, and vital air of the living beings for sense gratification, for performing sacrifices to attain higher births, and ultimately for offering sacrifices to the Supreme Lord. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the actual purpose of the Lord's creation is only one, to facilitate the advancement of devotional service to the Lord himself. Although it is stated that the Lord facilitates sense gratification, it should be understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not ultimately condone the foolishness of the conditioned souls. The Lord facilitates sense gratification, matra prasidyahe, so that the living entity will gradually understand the futility of trying to enjoy without him. Every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. In the Vedic literature, the Lord gives a regulative program so that the living beings can gradually exhaust their tendencies to be foolish and learn the value of surrender unto him. The Lord is undoubtedly the reservoir of all beauty, bliss, and satisfaction, and it is the duty of every living entity to engage in the loving service of the Lord. Although there are apparently two purposes for creation, it should be understood that ultimately the purpose is one. The arrangement for sense gratification is ultimately meant to bring the living entity to the single purpose of going back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. So this morning we're going to talk about choice, making good choices. It's a subject actually that unites parents and children and those that endeavor to share Krishna consciousness by traveling all over the world. So we can accommodate a sannyasi and we can accommodate a little girl in the beginning of her education in this subject of choice. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he explains the whole science of God to Arjuna. But can anybody tell me what he says at the end of Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna? after telling him the whole science of God, what does he say to Arjuna? One of the children. Yes. To pick up his bow and fight. Well, yes, but he tells him something else first. He gives him what? He gives him a choice. He says that, now I've explained everything to you, and so you decide what you want to do. You can fight or not fight. It's up to you. Now, Krishna gives him that choice, and he gives all of us the same or similar choices because he loves us. Krishna loves all of his living entities, and therefore he doesn't force a single one of them to do anything that he doesn't want to do. He gives us all a choice. Now that's a lot of responsibility, having a choice. And so we want to try to explain today how all of us, older devotees as well as the children, can learn to make good choices. When I was preparing for the class, I actually did a little research about how children make choices and mistakes they make in making choices and learning how to make choices, and reasons why they make the wrong choice. And as I read down the list, I didn't think of children, I thought of myself. Because the same reasons why children, young children, who are learning to make correct choices, make mistakes, is the same reason why older people, older devotees even, make wrong decisions and sometimes even misuse their choice. So what are some of those reasons why young children and old men sometimes make the wrong choice? Does anybody have any idea? Just a wild guess. Yes, Prabhupada in the room.
So I always have a choice, even though I have a taste of Krishna consciousness, but I can call back, like for example, the intelligence.
Okay, so we make bad choices because we're not fully convinced that Krishna's direction is the right thing for us. Yes. Okay, so we think, we act without thinking first what the consequences of our action are going to be. So that sometimes that leads to making a wrong choice. Yes. If we want something, we want things and we want them now, right? We haven't earned them, as you say, but we want them now. So we act in that way, make choices in that way. Madan Mohan. Okay, our intelligence is covered by the modes. Another way of saying that, according to this list I have here, is that we might focus on only one aspect of a situation and not understand everything that's going on, and we make a decision sometimes in ignorance, covered by the modes of nature, as you said. Yes. Free will. We make mistakes because of our free will, yeah. Okay. Yeah, let me just read very quickly the list here. And as I said, you may recognize some of your own struggles with making choices, both children and adults. We focus on our own position and not seeing other people's points of view, like our parents, for instance. We might have a point of view, but our parents might have another point of view, right? And so that makes it hard to make a decision sometimes, make a choice. We look for immediate benefits. This is sense gratification, isn't it? The verse is talking about either sense gratification, using your body and your eyes, your arms, your eyes, legs, using all that for your own pleasure as opposed to using it for Krishna. So sometimes we think of our own benefit, our immediate benefits. The senses want it without thinking and planning ahead. As was mentioned, we want things now. I see something and I want it, and there's no going back from that. Sometimes we're just whimsical. For no particular reason, we do something. And that also is not the best strategy for making a correct decision. So these are problems which come in between us and making good decisions in life, but fortunately, there are some instructions we get about how to make good decisions. So we'll go over them, and then we're going to do a little exercise with all the students, asking them how to make a choice, how to make a good decision about what to have for breakfast. So the first step in making good decisions is to realize that Krishna is giving you a choice. Just like Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gave him a choice by presenting the conflict between the Kauravas and the Pandavas. And that's the first step we need to know when we're presented with any situation, is to remember Krishna. First, remember Krishna and understand that Krishna is, he's giving me a choice, but it's more than that. He's giving me a chance to express my love for him. He's giving me a chance to express my love, because that's the first opportunity we have to love Krishna, is by choosing him and his instructions over Maya or illusion. Sometimes, especially older devotees who have been practicing Krishna consciousness for a while, and maybe not so much in the fire of giving Krishna consciousness to others, become a little complacent about making the choice to accept Krishna in your life. But that's actually a very exciting time, both for a parent and a preacher, because you can see, you bring persons to the stage of making that choice of choosing Krishna. And their choice of Krishna is the first step they're taking towards loving Krishna. I was reading in this magazine, it's called Enough Magazine. It's put out by the devotees in New Zealand. And Nitai Priya, who's the editor of this magazine, was here last week visiting Back to Godhead. And this magazine is totally designed towards helping people make the choice to accept Krishna. And so it's really refreshing when you read these articles, because sometimes, you know, we already have accepted Krishna and we're studying deep philosophy and so many intricacies of what Krishna consciousness means and love for Krishna. And we're way past this idea of making the choice of giving up material life and accepting Krishna. But these articles in this magazine are geared towards making that choice. And when you read it, you realize, oh, this is exciting. People are choosing to accept Krishna. The same thing is there, I think, with parents and children. When they see their children growing and then they see them making choices, good choices in their life to be Krishna conscious, to be good boys and girls, that's also pleasing. And so first thing is to understand that this is an opportunity given us by Krishna. So we think before we act. And what should we think? We should think, why do I want to do this? Why do I want to do this? Some make a choice. What's my motivation? What is inspiring me to do this? Is it peer pressure? Is it wanting to be popular with my friends? We need to understand our own motivations. And again, that's something that growing up and becoming mature helps us to understand. Why do I want to do this thing in the first place? And next question would be, what are my options? The example is given here is of stealing candy from a store with your friends. Now, of course, none of you would ever do something like that. So this is just an example. You did. Okay, we will have you tell us about it later. But why do I want to do this? We want to make sure that we have the right motivation. And the right motivation should be what? In a very general sense, what should the right motivation be? To please Krishna. We should always remember, Krishna is giving us a choice, and so we should try to please Krishna. And then this question about what are the consequences of my actions? Does everyone understand consequences? No? No? Well, what happens if you do this? Or what happens if you do that? For the kids, it might be more easily understood as, am I going to get in trouble for this? If I do this, am I going to get in trouble? If I do this, are my parents going to be happy with me? And ultimately, if I do this, is Krishna going to be happy with me? If we understand what the consequences of my actions are, then we have a better chance of making a good decision. And then there's a big question here. How will my decision affect others? We're not alone in this world. We have family, we have friends, we have society at large, and all of our actions have some effect on all of those things. So before we act, we should try to understand, how are my acts going to affect others? Is it going to make them happy? Is it going to make them upset? How is it going to affect them? So if we can understand that, it helps us to make better decisions. And then finally, what about me? How I act, how is it going to affect me? Am I going to be happy? Am I going to be sad? Am I going to be sorry that I did something? Or am I going to be glad that I did something? These things we need to consider as well in deciding how to act, how to make the best decision. So let's do a little exercise here about what to have for breakfast. So if you had to decide what to have for breakfast, what's the first thing that might come to your mind? If you're hungry, what's the first thing that may come to your mind? Pizza? Yes. Prasadam, very good. If I'm hungry, the first thing that should come to my mind is, again, remember Krishna, choose Krishna. So I choose that I should have some prasadam. But what kind of prasadam? Is it pizza, as your teacher says? Oh, you're repeating what they were saying. Okay. Yes. Toast with butter with fresh strawberries. It sounds healthy. No, Nutella. Oh, really? Oh, Nutella. Well, that's bad. Nutella's bad. So that might taste good and look good, but is it the right thing to have for breakfast? Should you have something healthy, something that looks good, or something that tastes good? We need to try to decide which one of those we want, because we have choice means we have options. There are options available to us. But how are we going to decide whether we have cereal that has a lot of sugar and the chocolate in it, and chocolate cocoa puffs? How are we going to decide whether we should have that or some fruit nicely cut up, or milk, some flavored milk? How are we going to decide which one? Yes, for which one? With our intelligence. Yes, we have to utilize our intelligence and all these questions we just talked about. A plain rice cake with peanut. That sounds pretty healthy. Yes. Caramel ice cream. Who thinks that's a good decision for breakfast? Is that a good decision for breakfast, caramel ice cream? I think we better rethink that one. One of the things about making decisions is to hear from others also what their opinion are. So all your friends say that that's caramel ice cream for breakfast. That's not such a good one. Yes. Salad. Oh, okay. There's a healthy one. Salad. Yes. Fruit salad. Okay, now why are you choosing all these things? Fruit salad, salad. And you were going to say? Yeah. Oatmeal. Okay, that's an old man's good breakfast. Oatmeal. Okay, but now the choice may not be available, right? We may not have all those things at home available to us. So before we decide what we're going to have for breakfast, we have to think, well, what's available? What's in the refrigerator? What's in the cabinet? If it's not there, we can't make that choice, can we? Yeah. Lots of fruits, okay. I think everyone here is pretty healthy in their choices, and that's a good choice for breakfast, because we have to try to understand the difference between something that tastes good, like the ice cream, and something that's healthy. Those are part of the choice we make when we decide what to have for breakfast. So, how do we decide whether our decision was a good one or not? How do we decide if eating ice cream or eating fruit is better? Yes. Whether it's offered to Krishna, that's the key. That's a key thing. Yes, that's very good. You had something else? Okay, you look at the ingredients, and maybe there's some consequences in the ingredients, like it has some meat or eggs in there or something like that, something we don't want. So, yeah, we need to get more information, make ourselves get some knowledge. Yes. Go to a higher authority, yes. Whether it's good or not, we might ask, you know, our parents, you know, ask our mother and father, is this good for me to eat for breakfast? And get some input. Even from our brother and sister or our friends, we can get information that helps us in making the correct choice. Yes. Okay. Learning from the past and learning from our experiences, that's part of the consequences idea we talked about. Am I going to have a stomach ache when I'm sitting in class in the morning after eating that for breakfast? So then it might not be such a good idea, yes. Oh, yes, long-term consequences. This is the result of growing up and becoming mature. We see from the elder students here, they're thinking about the long-term consequences. What's going to happen over time if I eat ice cream for breakfast every day? What's going to happen? You're going to get sick, right? You're not going to be able to digest anything, and your life will become miserable. So those things, those long-term consequences also help us in making decisions. Anything else anyone has to add here? Actually, this is the whole purpose of the material world. In this verse, in the purport today, Krishna is explaining how Krishna creates the world in such a way that we have these two options, whether to engage our senses in ways which really don't make very much good sense, or to engage them in ways in which ultimately get us out of this world. We have this choice to make, and it's before us every day. So we should learn how to make good decisions in our life, and that will carry us in facing all kinds of difficult troubles in life. We have good decision-making skills, then we can react appropriately and find a Krishna-conscious solution to whatever troubles we face. So does anyone have anything to add or any questions they'd like to ask about making choices? Marge.
These choices that we make, perhaps especially as we get older, it would seem like they don't always impact externally. Mm-hmm. In other words, we may continue our same style of life and routine, but I'm starting to have a little realization that we're making psychological choices also. We're making choices about what kind of attitude, how I should be thinking, how I should be feeling. Should I get depressed about a situation, or should, even though I may continue day by day and externally, no one else except Super Soul would know that I've actually made this internal choice, but actually I'm feeling very different according to what choices I made, how I'm going to take things, how I'm going to react to things or not react to things. I wonder if you could comment on that aspect.
Well, obviously there are, as you point out, various levels at which we make choices in our life. And as we go deeper, not only psychologically, but even spiritually, making choices, as I mentioned, is the first sort of, especially if we choose Krishna, like we're going and trying to present Krishna to everyone. And if people actually choose Krishna, that's actually the soul is actually awakening up and making a choice to accept Krishna. And so choices can be made from that level. And so there are all varieties of levels throughout our existence that we make choices. And so the better we become at making the correct choice and doing it in a determined way, it manifests in our life in different ways. For instance, if you make the choice, how you make the choice to come to Krishna consciousness really carries you in with spiritual strength for decades. At least that's my experience. If you make a determined, and it comes at one point in time that enough, it's like the magazine, enough, I've had enough of material life, I'm going to serve Krishna. If you have that determination to make that strong decision in your life, then that decision will carry you through all kinds of doubts and psychological up and downs or physical up and downs you may have throughout the years. And so we have to learn to make choices at all different levels and make them firm, go forward with conviction. So psychologically, spiritually, physically, all those levels of choices we need to make, and they'll carry us through the difficulties and challenges we have in Krishna consciousness. Madan Mohan.
Sometimes if you're just not quick enough, you don't notice that you're already making a choice. If you just look at something, you don't know that the second you're looking at it, you're starting to make a choice immediately. You contemplate something. And that has a whole conveyor belt of activities. If you start to contemplate something and you think, yeah, I think I'd like to have that. And then you think, yeah, I could enjoy that. So that all happens. And then in having a discussion before on this point, the person brought up, you're according to your identity. If I think I'm a man, then there's a certain set of choices that become pushing. If I think I'm a woman, I'm a human, or an animal. But in the human form of life, then if we get a good education like everybody here is getting, we understand I'm not the designation, that I actually am eternal. Then the choices turn into rebellion or submission. You know, if I'm going to submit, because I don't know if we brought that point up, maybe a little bit on an attitude, but there's a good time. A lot of times we know what we should do, but we don't want to do it. You know, so what's that about if we know we should do this, but I don't want to do that?
It's about making poor choices.
But it seems, yeah, it's a poor choice, but it seems like it's already loaded. It's already developed strongly.
Therefore, we practice. That's what sadhana bhakti is, the practice. We can practice making the choices every day, at every instant. And we have to do that, because otherwise we're conditioned souls, and that means we're conditioned to making the wrong choices. So we have to become conditioned to making the right choices, and that comes from knowledge. So therefore we study the Shastra, and we get knowledge, and on the basis of knowledge of the consequences, we make
correct choices. So we need to be reconditioned.
Huh?
We need to be reconditioned.
Yes, reconditioned or liberated. Any other comments or questions, anyone? Yes.
Yeah, just following up on some of the points that were just made, one thing that can be helpful is just setting clear goals about how do I want to feel physically, emotionally, spiritually, what are my goals in all the different areas of my life, and then every day asking yourself, am I doing my best to achieve these goals? So you're self-monitoring, and you're not just kind of being whimsical, and you're taking ownership and responsibility and being actively engaged and not kind of giving the power to everything outside of you.
Very good, very good. We're persons, and becoming a person, becoming responsible, as you say, personally, taking ownership, very good. That's how we can maintain making good decisions and molding ourselves rather than being molded. One of the things I was reading in this Enough magazine was a thing about how social media, the evils of social media, how it molds you and fits you into little compartments that no one appears to be very comfortable with, you know, having others define you rather than defining yourself, as you say. Very good, thank you. Steve Moon.
So now that the little blue people are gone, I think that's a kind of interesting point. When we're talking about good and bad decisions, it really has a lot to do with what the goal is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because otherwise it's all relative. I mean, a good and bad decision to do what?
Mm-hmm.
So that really frames the good and the bad. I mean, if I own a lot of stock in the ice cream company, I'm eating ice cream every day, it'd be a good thing. you know, so it's
it would be a good thing for you, not for the people you're trying to exploit.
Well, I mean, it's the goal that really gives value to the good and bad decisions.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And our goal is, generally, broadly, what is our goal? To always remember Krishna, never to forget Krishna, right? And so, yes.
I was thinking in my own, I was trying to reflect while you are having discussion. That most of the mistake that then I did, in relation with the devotees or communicating with the devotees, whenever I made a decision on my own inference, my own mind dictating what I think that person is, and I did a mistake most of the time, and I choose actually to take a. Advice and understanding from advanced devotees, and actually it's always came better than I even thought what I would see. So I think even the choice is not that I should decide what is good for me. Maybe the choice that I will go to a devotee who is more advanced and have him some input in my decision, and that will be better choice.
Yeah, well, obviously that dynamic with devotees is an important part, but even in general, a king without his advisors, Chanaka Pandit says a king, something about a king without his advisors is like useless or something. And so we all need advice. We all need friends. If we don't have someone to bounce our ideas off, you know, to get their opinion about something, to get their counsel, then we're bound to make wrong decisions. That's sort of just the nature of the world. And so, we need that association. And so if we want to make right decisions, then we put ourselves in a situation where we can get that type of feedback. We don't hold ourselves back from that association. You see that sometimes, not just amongst devotees, but I think just among people in general. They withdraw because they're something inside them that says, I don't want the feedback of others. You know, I want to rely on myself. And that's sort of always kind of a mistake that we make, I think. I mean, I don't know, maybe you can say more about withdrawing, how that leads to isolation and bad decision making in life. But, yeah.
You know, there's the whole concept the mind is either your friend or your enemy. And so there's always two tracks of thinking going on. And when you withdraw, what's influencing you? What are you identifying with? What part of your mind is dictating? And so if your mind is becoming influenced by negative and, destructive thinking, then that isolation will go in a downward spiral. So, again, it goes back to that self-monitoring of, how do I want to feel? How do I want to think? Who am I? So that you can keep yourself progressive and not isolate yourself into darkness.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm not sure if that addressed.
No, that's good. Thank you. Robert?
Hare Krishna, very nice class. So I was just thinking, I was called to remember, since we're discussing ice cream also, that the very nice soul, John Robbins, actually he was the heir to the Baskin and Robbins estate, and because of it, he got very, very ill. He was eating, I'm sure there was meat in the family as well, but he was eating a lot of ice cream and dairy. And so he ultimately became vegan, and he wrote several books, and he was waking up the world to a lot of the problems that arise from certain kinds of diet.
Actually, that reminds me that one of the decision-making factors that Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita is moderation. Don't eat too much, don't eat too little, don't sleep too much, don't sleep too little. So I think that kind of advice is also something that helps us keep in the right range. Yes.
So I was thinking, as I was hearing this, like you were mentioning about goals and being able to self-regulate, but what about people who've never had that kind of support as children and growing up? So they don't really even know how to go to somebody and ask, because you were mentioning that people go within and then they, you know, can get depressed or get down or whatever. So not everybody has somebody out there, and especially people who've already come to that level. So how can they find that balance?
Well, I think that's the function of community. Just like the government, for instance. I mean, the Alachua County government, they have social workers that they hire and their own staff, because they know that they can't just wait for people to come to them. They must have outreach programs that we're here, if you need it, just making people aware. And so in a community of devotees also, I know successful devotee communities where they have mentoring programs, they have other programs designed to say that we're here if you have a problem, you know, come and take advantage. Someone goes within, we may not know that, but if we have programs that are actively promoting, we can be of assistance, then that's a function of a community. And, you know, we've had, I'm not quite sure of the current state, but we've had different programs in this community over the years designed for that purpose. Our time is up. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you very much for the wonderful class. I have one comment. You mentioned that taking advice from friends, I think it's good, but at the same time, if you're too like-minded, you know, it's obviously, they'll say yes, whatever you say, because you're so too like-minded.
Mm-hmm.
I think my experience is sometimes you should go beyond your close friends and rather to seniors or somebody with a little different perspective, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it will just help you with a different perspective then.
Well, that's a good point. Okay, we'll end there. Antarachamad Bhagavatam Hija.